Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Todd Albaugh Show across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I am Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2022. Welcome into the big show, wherever you are listening across the state, whether you are in Richland Center on WRCE, in Wausau on WXCO, or in beautiful Amory on WXCE. We welcome you in across terrestrial or traditional radio. That is, you turn on your radio in your car, your truck, your vehicle, or on your kitchen counter, and you can listen to us there. Otherwise, if you're somewhere else, you can download the Civic Media app and go to your favorite app store, type in Civic Media. The CM logo will come up, and you can download that. It's free. It takes about a minute or less. Then you open that up, and you go to other stations, and you scroll down to WRCE News in the Center, and you click on that, and there you go. You will find us. Also, I believe starting today or next couple of days, we're also streaming on Twitter on at Albaugh Show for Twitter, and also on Facebook at the Todd Albaugh Show. So, and also on the Civic Media website. So there's all kinds of places you can listen or watch or see us. Well, look at Aaron. Aaron is on top of it. He's the best. He has checked, and there we are streaming already. So check it out wherever it is easiest for you to find us. Aaron and I haven't really talked all morning. It's been kind of a harried morning here at Civic Media. Aaron's been a jack of all trades this morning. I had some electrical issues, and part of our network went down, and Aaron got it back up and running. Have you had a chance to catch your breath yet, Aaron?
I have now. although, yeah, eventually we found out it was just a surge protector that died, thankfully. So that's easy to switch out.
That's it. But it takes a while to figure all that out. So Luke Mathers is also here helping out. So we appreciate everybody who is keeping the network up and running and on the air this morning. And actually, Luke will be a guest on the show a little bit later as we continue. I thought it was nice, especially, you know, coming from Richland Center and my home station being WRCO, WRCE. I know there's a lot of folks where stations have been purchased by Civic Media who are a little apprehensive, and they're like, oh man, what's going to happen to our station? Our station means so much. It's part of our community. And so part of what I want to do on our show here is to introduce you to some of the main people at Civic Media who keep this up and running, and to let you know, look, these are not big conglomerate scary people. They're regular folk, and their intentions are good, and much of what we have enjoyed locally on our radio stations is going to stay intact. So coming up, Luke Mathers will join us. Not only does he have his own show along with Brian Kelly on the afternoon at 2 o'clock, Dueling Tangents, he is also a jack of all trades, our operations director, if you will, keeping things going on the air from social media to engineering to programming. So we're going to get to know Luke Mathers a little bit better and his role at Civic Media and how that affects each of our communities across the state, wherever you may be listening. That is at 10:30 this morning. At 9:30, Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University will be here. He is the director of the Marquette Law School Poll, and he will be joining us live on the show at 9:30. We're going to do a little, this is for a little bit of the political nerds, but also for people who are asking the question post-election here in Wisconsin. It's a question I've heard over and over from people. How in the heck does Tony Evers, a Democrat, get reelected, and at the same time, Ron Johnson, a conservative Republican, also get reelected? How do people cross over and vote? How does that happen? I've heard a lot of folks talking about that. People have asked me that. So I certainly have political takes on that, reasons why. One of them, of course, that Republicans were successful in painting Mandela Barnes, who happens to be black, as a scary black man via advertising. They darkened his skin on some of the paper brochures they mailed out, also on the videos that they produced. So that was one of the tactics, just to make Mandela Barnes look scary. But also we're going to kind of take the political and the emotional side away today, and we're going to look at the numbers. Because as they say, numbers don't lie, right? Most of the time. But we're going to have Charles Franklin on, and he's going to show us from just a scientific number standpoint, nonpartisan, looking at voting trends down by Milwaukee and what's known as the WOW counties, kind of those counties that surround Milwaukee County. Also in the Fox Valley, and just look at how people have been voting. What does that say about us? What can we just from a nonpartisan standpoint get from the numbers of how Wisconsin elections are changing and what that means moving forward? And also, he's just a heck of a nice guy and very interesting to talk to. I used to have a coffee shop. We actually had Charles Franklin in one afternoon and just gave us kind of a polling 101, which is fascinating. So we won't maybe go quite that in depth today, but we're going to talk to Charles Franklin at 9:30. When we come back, we're going to tell you what you need to know on this Tuesday, the 22nd. Also, Toddy goes under the knife later today. Very small knife. A little ear procedure later today. I talk about that. I'm enjoying it while I can right now. Back with more. Back with Aaron. Back with you. We appreciate you. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2022, Todd Allball with you across the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCE, WXCO, WXCE, and across the streaming media apps or wherever you are catching us this morning. We appreciate you coming in. What you need to know today, appropriate music there by Mr. Zommers about heroes, because we certainly have some in the tragedy that struck Colorado Springs over the weekend. Your headlines: an Army veteran, a club goer, and a drag queen. T. teamed up to take down the Colorado Springs shooter that left 5 dead and at least 17 injured. We will talk more about that in just a minute. Also, the United States could face a massive rail strike after sides could not agree on paid sick leave. Both sides agreed to continue negotiations into December, but this could create a lot of havoc, not just for people traveling via Amtrak, but also from a freight standpoint if these rail unions cannot agree with negotiations. In sports last night, or yesterday, the World Cup, the United States and Wales finished in a 1-1 draw. We'll talk more about that later with Luke Mathers in the 10 o'clock hour. But yes, you watch all day and it finished United States and Wales in a 1-1 draw. Also, it was the Milwaukee Bucks beating the Portland Trail Blazers last night by a score of 119 to 111. And don't forget, it's Axe Week. If you're a Wisconsin Badger football fan, the Badgers take on the PJ Flexters, better known as the Golden Gophers, at 2:30. At Camp Randall Stadium here in Madison. Also, this is fantastic. President Joe Biden was at his best yesterday. He was Uncle Joe, full form, on the lawn of the White House as he pardoned two turkeys. The turkeys were named Chocolate and Chip. President Biden looked fantastic. He was in his aviators. The sun was out. He had his overcoat on. He was telling jokes. He was pardoning turkeys, as presidents do ever since Ronald Reagan on Thanksgiving week, giving them a pardon and sending them off to a beautiful turkey farm or something. I don't know, or a petting zoo. But yeah, so it was a lighter moment yesterday. Nice to see Joe Biden having some fun. I think some of his grandchildren were on tap. So that's what was happening in D.C. yesterday. A little weather for you if you are traveling or about to travel on this holiday week. First of all, we'll give you the forecast for southwest Wisconsin for our listeners at WRCO. Today, mostly cloudy, gradual clearing in the afternoon. A high near 46 today in the RC. Going to be warmer down south in the southern part of the state. Winds are around 6 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 18. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 50 degrees, 50 on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And the forecast for Thanksgiving Day, a 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, a cloudy, and a high of 48. Move up further north to Wausau. Our listeners there expect a gradual clearing today, a high near 37. So about 10 degrees cooler up in Wausau. Tonight, partly patchy fog, that is, after 5 o'clock. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 15. Tomorrow, patchy fog between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. So in your commute tomorrow up in Wausau, if you have to go to work, do so carefully. Wednesday night, then increasing clouds, a low of 23. And on Thanksgiving Day in the central part of the state, went to Cheese Days in Monroe. Fantastic event. Only happens every 2 years. I won't go down the Cheese Day road today, but I caught a little something there, and it made my head just crazy. And I have a tube in my right ear, and it's plugged up. It's been plugged up since Cheese Days, you understand? And I'm a great doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor, and we've been trying to work. Anyway, long story short, I have to go in this afternoon and get the tube replaced. It is not a pleasant experience. It's been about 10, 11 years since I had this done. They have to numb your ear a little bit, and they have to pull this tube out. They have to put a little incision in your eardrum and put another one in. So, Todd will. If you hear loud, curling screams across the state about 1 o'clock, you'll know. No, not really. It's not that bad. It's 10 minutes of inconvenience for 10 years of great hearing. So hopefully when I come back tomorrow, it'll be a whole new Toddy. You'll be able to hear me better, understand me better, and everything will be. I'll be able to hear you better. So we shall see. That is what's going on in my world today, and hopefully your day will be better and not going under the knife. It was a tragic day, as we talked about yesterday in Colorado Springs over the weekend. The shooting there at a gay nightclub, and the individual was captured and is in custody and awaiting charges. At least 5 murder charges. 5 were killed, at least 17 injured. Reports are still coming in. I don't want to focus on the shooter today. What I want to focus on are the heroes that made a difference. And we alluded to that a little bit earlier. So you understand, this was a nightclub in Colorado Springs. And Colorado Springs and Colorado in general, and we won't go down this road too far today. We went down it yesterday somewhat, is for whatever reason, the Christian, evangelical, far right, and conservative groups have chosen Colorado and Colorado Springs to base some of their most extreme television and radio programming from. We played the clip yesterday. We're not going to play it again of this alleged, I'll say alleged, pastor talking about how gay people were 20% more likely to die early than straight people, trying to make the assumption or the connection that being gay shortens your life, which, of course, the reason that is that gay people don't live as long is because of suicide. And a suicide brought on by people like this alleged pastor who make you feel like crap and that you're not worthy and that you're, you know, a lot not loved. You know, that's why. So there is a connection, but pastor, look in the mirror, okay? But anyway, so Colorado is just, it's a lovely place, but for whatever reason, the right has set up shop in Colorado. They're trying to get take over school boards there and change the curriculums and get teachers fired. It's very, very weird. But here's some good news. Okay, let's focus on some good news today, if there is any, I guess, out of this whole tragedy. And there is, actually. I'm reminded of that line by Mr. Rogers from public television, and it's been made famous since 9/11, I think. But Mr. Rogers was famous for saying, in the midst of tragedy, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. And he attributed that to his mom when he was a child and would watch on TV or listen on the radio to tragic events. And his mom would say, don't focus on the sad news. Look for the helpers. And in this situation in Colorado Springs, there were certainly helpers. Former Army Major Richard Fierro never thought he would need to use his combat skills he learned in the military while on a night out with his family. He says, quote, I went to the ground as soon as I heard the shots, he tells CNN. The veteran who served three tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan said his training kicked in. Quote, I was in fighting mode. I was doing what I did downrange. I trained for this, he said. After hitting the ground, Fierro saw a man with a gun and jumped into action. Quote, I ran across the room, pulled him down, Fierro said. Fierro and Thomas James were identified by police as two clubgoers who helped take down the suspected gunman. As we said, five people were killed on the attack. At least 17 were wounded. After the suspect was on the ground, another man, apparently James, helped Fierro subdue him and pushed a rifle out of the suspect's reach. That's when Fierro noticed the suspect also had a pistol, which Fierro said he took and used to hit the gunman. Quote, I found a crease between his armor and his head, and I just started wailing away with his gun. While Fierro was hitting the suspect with his gun, another man was kicking him in the head. She happened to be one of the drag queen performers and jumped in. Fierro said she helped kick him in the head with the high heels that she had on. As soon as the police arrived, Fierro said he began tending to his injured friends. And the tragedy, a further tragedy in this whole situation was Fierro's girlfriend's, or Fierro's daughter's boyfriend, rather. So it was the boyfriend of his daughter was actually one of the five killed in the attack. See, in the midst of tragedy, I just find this, I don't want to say this, it sounds terrible to say fantastic, but people coming together, right? An Army veteran, who is more burly and thought of in terms of social terms as masculine than that, right? Did tours overseas like Iraq and Afghanistan. Combat veteran. He takes down the gunman. Another person helps subdue him. And then a drag queen takes off her high heels and starts wailing on the guy. And the three of them together saved countless lives over the weekend in Colorado Springs. It's a tragedy that five people were killed and 17 are injured. And the emotional damage that it has done to that community. And we should keep them in our thoughts and our prayers and send good vibes to them. But I think it's also important to realize there are also good people out there. We are surrounded every day by heroes that we rarely hear about. People doing things like this that don't always make the news. So good on them. An Army veteran, a club goer, and a drag queen with high heels. That's what can defeat hate in America, and I love every minute of that story. We'll be back in just a moment after a break. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Going on a Tuesday morning, 22nd of November, 2022, Todd Allball Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. We welcome you back to the program. Coming up in the next hour at 9:30, we have Professor Charles Franklin talking about a little post-election coverage about why people may have voted certain ways and what the poll numbers all meant, and also how the Marquette Law School poll did. Actually, pretty darn well. If you look at the numbers, they did not come far off from the mark on their final poll. We'll talk to him. And then at 10:30, we have Mr. Luke Mathers from right here at Civic Media. He is the host, co-host of Dueling Tangents, and also our operations director here at Civic Media. And we will talk to him about his role and let you get to know Civic Media a little bit better, because it's scary, right? When you're introduced to a new person or a new company, and for many of these smaller stations and towns such as Richland Center and Amory and even Wausau, when somebody buys your station, you kind of want to know what the heck is going on. So Luke will help us understand that a little bit as well. Perhaps no one helped people understand things better, at least when I was growing up as a kid, as Mr. Rogers. We talked about him or touched on it for a moment earlier. And there's a lot going on right now in the world. The Colorado Springs tragedy, voting issues. So we can go right down the list. And one of the people that really put that into perspective was Mr. Rogers. And Aaron, you found this clip on Mr. Rogers. So let's let people listen and be reminded of the simplest of perspectives, but one of the strongest as well. Here's Mr. Rogers.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Isn't that fantastic? I mean, who is better at putting things into perspective than Mr. Rogers? I appreciate you finding that, Aaron.
Yeah, and I definitely have to agree. It's not just you. Like, I watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood a lot when I was really little. Of course, as time goes on, it's not on TV quite as much, but the reruns are still on, and you can still find it and have kids watch it. It's evergreen stuff.
Exactly. Have adults watch it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still time. I'm running through TV shows on a certain day, and I'll come across, I'll watch 5 or 10 minutes of Mr. Rogers, and I just feel better. And I think his advice is so true, and that's why I wanted to include and focus on this part of this tragedy in Colorado Springs. And no matter how you feel about the events in Colorado or the issues surrounding gender or sexual orientation, we can all agree, I hope, that there are good people in bad situations, helpers, as Mr. Rogers said. And again, it was former Army Major Richard Fierro who jumped in and was there with his family and took down the gunman in Colorado Springs over the weekend. And then it was Thomas James who was a club goer who then jumped in as well and helped hold down the victim and started beating him as well. And then a drag queen who has yet to be named, and she jumped in with her high heels and started kicking the gunman in the head with high heels. And so you have these people that may have never met, or I guess they were at the same club, but you wouldn't think of them in terms of people that you would put together in, you know, one of these kids, not like the other. Come on, tell me which one. I mean, the people were certainly from different backgrounds in that club, which also goes to prove that, you know, it's not just straight people, or pardon me, it's not just gay people that go to gay clubs. There are straight people there as well. There are a myriad of people, thus the rainbow, you know, a lot of different folks. And this was a situation that in tragedy, in a horrific, nearly unspeakable tragedy, as a shooting, you had an Army veteran, a club goer, and a drag queen jump in, and they were heroes, and they were helpers. And as Mr. Rogers said, we need to identify those. I thought it was touching yesterday that the mayor of Colorado Springs, in his press conference, talked about the main hero in this story, Richard Fierro, and we have a clip of him from yesterday's press conference in Colorado Springs.
I had the opportunity before I came here today to talk to Richard Fierro, identified as one of the two heroes that subdued the suspect in this case. And in my opinion, I think the opinion of everyone involved, saved a lot of lives. I won't talk about, you know, the nature of what he told me about the incident. I will just simply talk about, I have never encountered a person who had engaged in such heroic actions that was so humble about it. He simply said to me, I was trying to protect my family.
The mayor of Colorado Springs yesterday at the press conference talking about Richard Fierro, just an incredible gentleman, but humble as well. According to CNN reporting yesterday or this morning, Fierro told CNN last night, quote, my daughter and wife should never have experienced combat in Colorado Springs. And everybody in that building experienced combat that night, not to their own accord, but because they were forced to. It's a lot for any human. Fierro at the nightclub celebrating a birthday with his wife and daughter and the daughter's boyfriend, Vance, who, as we said before, was one of the people killed. Fierro said, quote, I'm not a hero. I'm just a guy that wanted to protect his kids and wife, and I still didn't get to protect her boyfriend. That's a true humble servant. That is a true humble person. That is a true hero in America. And just to clean up the clip, I think when the press conference was held yesterday by the mayor, it was not known all three. There were three people, Fierro, the club goer, and the drag queen. The three of them were the people that held down and subdued the gunman and saved countless lives, because it was an AR-15, another assault weapon rifle, that was used in this shooting. And that goes to a whole other kettle of fish, as they say. Because how does a person like this continue to get firearms and use them after it appears that this person had already been flagged by police? It's because of a loophole in our system. According to the Associated Press, a year and a half before he was arrested in the Colorado Springs nightclub shooting that left five dead, the gunman allegedly threatened his mother with a homemade bomb, forcing neighbors and surrounding homes to evacuate while the bomb squad and crisis negotiators talked him into surrendering. Yet despite that scare, there's no public record that prosecutors moved forward with felony kidnapping and menacing charges against the shooter, or that police or relatives tried to trigger Colorado's red flag law that would have allowed authorities to seize the weapons and ammo the man's mother said he had with him. Gun control advocates say that the alleged gunman's threat is an example of a red flag law ignored with potentially deadly consequences. While it's not clear the law could have prevented Saturday night's attack, Such gun seizures can be in effect for as little as 14 days and extended by a judge for 6 months. They do say that it could have at least slowed the gunman and raised his profile with law enforcement. But the law that allows guns to be removed from people deemed dangerous to themselves or others has seldom been used in Colorado, particularly in El Paso County, home to Colorado Springs, where the alleged gunman went into the club with a long gun, an AR-15, just before midnight and opened fire. An Associated Press analysis earlier this year found Colorado's courts issued 151 gun surrender orders since the state's red flag law took effect in 2020. 3 surrender orders for every 100,000 adults in the state. That's a third of the average ratio of orders issued for the 19 states and the District of Columbia with surrender laws on the books. The mayor of Colorado Springs, John Suthers, who we just heard from, said, quote, "It is the law in Colorado and law enforcement agencies in appropriate circumstances should take advantage of it," he said, though he cautioned against assuming that the facts of the bomb threat case would have warranted a use of the law. Now, El Paso County in Colorado appears especially hostile to the red flag law. It joined nearly 2,000 counties nationwide in declaring them so-called Second Amendment sanctuaries. Have you heard of this? Second Amendment sanctuaries, they're called, that protect the constitutional right to bear arms, passed in a 2019 resolution that says the red flag law, quote, "infringes upon the inalienable rights of law-abiding citizens by ordering police to forcibly enter premises and seize a citizen's property with no evidence of crime." County Sheriff Bill Alder said his office would wait for family members to ask a court to surrender orders and not petition for them on his own accord unless there were extreme circumstances. A Ring doorbell obtained by the AP shows this gunman arriving at his mother's front door with a big black bag the day of the 2021 bomb threat. And he told his mother that police were nearby, and he said, quote, "This is where I stand. Today, I die," unquote. Video captured by a Ring doorbell, the same kid that shot up this nightclub on Saturday night. 2 squad cars, what appears to be a bomb squad vehicle, later pulled up to the house, and a barefooted I won't say his last name. I'm not going to give him credit. But the kid emerged with his hands up. The neighbor who owns the house where the mother lived and alerted police that day said she's angry they didn't do more to monitor this kid after the incident. Quote, "If the justice system had followed through with something, anything, he wouldn't likely have had access to get a weapon and 5 people would not have died." As I've said before on this program, I own guns. I have a couple of 30-06s that I used to deer hunt with. I have a 30-30 I used to hunt with. A 22 that I squirrel hunt with. A 12-gauge shotgun that I bird hunt with. I am all for people having the opportunity and the right to have a gun to go hunting, to protect themselves, their home. But I don't know anybody who needs an AR-15 or an AK-47. And I used to be on the other side. I'm not going to say other side. That makes it sound wrong. There was a time, high school, college, that I belonged to the NRA. Card-carrying member. Got the magazines, the hunting magazines. Wore the orange hat. And I always used to feel when I was younger that my whole take on it was 2 things. A, that if we amend the Second Amendment, that opens up Pandora's box that all the other amendments could be messed with. Freedom of speech, right to assemble, on and on. And I also felt, I was in that club where the whole club that thinks, well, you know, we need to have our citizens armed because that kind of tempers the federal government and the government in general. They'll be less likely to go too far if we have the ability to rise up against them. It kind of keeps everybody in check. I thought that way. I know there are people today who still think that way. Well, then I worked for the government. I worked for Congressman Scott Klug back in the 90s. One of my issues that I covered for Congressman Klug was military issues. Had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., to the Pentagon, to the Congressional Liaison Office, to the Armed Forces. Led a trip to people to West Point, and I learned a lot. I'll tell you what I learned when I come back to the other side of this break. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on a Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. Time is now 9:50 if you're traveling or maybe getting on the road early for the holiday weekend. And a lot of people took today off and maybe tomorrow to get ahead of the travel. I've been reading travel is going to be crazy. Forecasts are for a record number of folks to be flying this this week for the holiday and on the roads. Of course, you know, after the election, gas prices miraculously, guess what? They came down. Amazing how that happens, right? Jeez. So, yeah, well, that's good. So gas prices are going to be down. That's fantastic. But airports will be crowded. So I know people might be on the road today. If you are, it's a good day to go driving in most parts of Wisconsin. If you're headed, if you're in the Amory-Wausau area and going north, say Hayward up to the Lake Superior area, there is a hazardous weather advisory out for that area for today. Not a lot of accumulation, probably an inch or less of snow, but some blowing up there. So be aware if you're going in far northern Wisconsin, at least that's far northern for us here in the southern part. Do so carefully. If you're in Amory proper or down towards Wausau or Richland Center, you are going to have a pretty nice day. Partly cloudy to clearing skies today. If you're going to be in Richland Center, all the way up to 46 degrees today for an afternoon high. Up in Amory, though, it's only going to reach 36, and in Wausau, 37. So kind of a cutoff there. Probably about the Dells south is going to be about 10 degrees warmer than the Dells north. So wherever you're going today in Wisconsin, do so carefully. And if you're getting an early start to the week, the holiday week, that is, enjoy that. Before the break, we were talking about the Colorado shooting over the weekend. The heroes that jumped in, including the veteran, the Army veteran that used his training skills to take down the alleged gunman over the weekend here. And his name is Richard Fierro. And then another club patron and a drag queen. All three jumped in and helped subdue this guy and save countless lives. And played a cut for the mayor of Colorado Springs and thanking those citizens who jumped in to save lives as well. But also then identifying how this kid, which I'm not going to say his name, 22-year-old alleged gunman. We have to say alleged because he's not been proven in court yet, but all signs point to that, obviously. The Colorado Springs El Paso County, the county in which Colorado Springs is a Second Amendment sanctuary area. And so it's an area where basically they say, we're not going to allow, you know, you to come in and any sort of gun control laws whatsoever, like red flag laws, which would allow a person who has been identified as harmful to themselves or others to temporarily have their guns taken away. Doesn't mean they can't get them back. It just means that you have done something that makes people believe, law enforcement believe, that you could be dangerous to yourself or others. And this can't just be like a phone call that says, oh, Bobby was out target shooting, and I think that's dangerous. No. We're talking about where you've committed a domestic violence incident against someone in your home or gone to someone else's home. You've made threats that were witnessed by others or online or captured on a cell phone. There has to be evidence that you did something beyond just call someone a name or out doing normal things such as sighting in your rifle or something like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the person who commits a domestic violence incident, who has made threats, who there is a history, a provable history. And so that law enforcement could say, hey, look, things aren't going well for you right now. You need to give us your guns for whatever it is, a month, 2 months, 3 months, while you cool down, while we assess you to make sure that you're not going to harm yourself or anybody else. That's all it is. And the point is, if you're not someone who creates a domestic violence incident, this is never going to affect you, no matter how many guns you have. We're only talking about a small number of people who may have mental health issues, anger management issues, or who are just bad folks, bad actors. That's what we're talking about. This is not a, we're going to come into your home and take all your guns because your neighbor thinks you're a goofball. It's not that. It's meant to protect you, the gun owner, from doing something to yourself, and if you're a bad actor, from doing something to someone else. But no, they create these sanctuary, Second Amendment sanctuary areas where they suspend these red flag laws, like in Colorado Springs.
I know some people like to make a big deal about, like, well, Tim Michaels, for example, made a big deal about, like, well, what if it's a disgruntled significant other? Well, they better have some kind of, like you said, if you have multiple witnesses to something like that. And even if, let's say it's deer hunting season, you want to go hunting, and somebody makes a bogus claim on you to get your guns taken away, if that happens and like one mass shooting is stopped also because of the same law, I think that's a really good trade-off.
It's a very good trade-off. And the fact is, Aaron, those kind of scenarios are always brought up, you know, by gun folk. And the chances of that happening are just slim to none. I mean, very few people are going to get disgruntled and say, oh, well, he didn't give me a nice enough anniversary present, so I'm going to turn him in and take his guns away. It doesn't happen. And you're 100% right. This is one of the things Tim Michaels and the Wisconsin Republican Party are pushing, that they want to make Wisconsin a Second Amendment sanctuary state where gun laws are basically suspended. And it becomes very dangerous for people with mental health issues, domestic violence issues. And again, I'm not some far left person that wants to take everybody's gun away. I'm not. Like I say, I hunt. I own guns. Go ahead, Aaron.
If we're going to go for Second Amendment sanctuary and do this from the same people whose literal interpretation of the law includes things like independent state legislature theory just on the word legislature making entire decisions,
right,
then I think they should provide some documentation for their well-regulated militia.
And that kind of gets me to the point I was making before the break, is that during my time working in politics and government and interacting with the military, and I did not serve, make that clear. I don't claim to be a veteran at all, but I worked with military folks. And I got to peek behind the curtain. And believe me, the technology that the United States military has with things that you don't even understand, you could have all the AR-15s or whatever you want. If you think that's going to stop the military from in the future of some mystic coup by the military, if you think that that's going to somehow protect you and your family, your friends from military takeover, you're just wrong. Because I've seen some of the non-classified equipment that isn't public. I don't even know about the secret, top secret or classified equipment that I know exists. So it's just a moot argument. It's not something that's going to do any good. So let's have reasonable gun laws. Let's put waiting periods for AR-15s, at least, if not out and out, ban them. We're going to take a news break here and be back with more after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.